If you want to look at the very beginning of Genesis, it starts off with some amazing stuff. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, and it's an amazing thing. If you study the original language, we have this idea that and he said, let there be light. He literally, it was more like light. He just declared it into being, and God said, let there be light, and let there be an expanse, and let there be water, and produce, and vegetation, and the sun, and the moon, and sea creatures, and winged birds, and living creatures according to their kind. And God saw it all and said, it was good. Just how amazing would that be? I don't know. One of the joys I have is I come to work in the morning. Oftentimes, you'll get to see the sunrise in the parking lot, and it's pink and orange, and just a beautiful reminder of all that God's done. And this last year, I'll sort of do a plug for McCartney's Feed Mill. They have great bird seed, and if you use their bird seed, birds from all over the world will flock to it. Now, that's an exaggeration, but I have seen more beautiful birds in this last winter than I have ever seen before. And even last night as I looked across our field, there was this, it was a nice four-point buck that just came out of the woods. And I felt bad because he's never going to end up on our dinner table because he only was a Y. But then I thought, how majestic that animal is. And so when you and I think of the creation of the world, I basically believe that there's just a few choices. And really, there's only two thoughts about where we came from and how we came to be. And I just wanted to give you this view of what Genesis says. Because Genesis is all about the book of beginnings. And there's two choices that you and I need to sort of wrestle through as people. And the first choice is we can look at the book of Genesis. And again, it is a scientific journey or textbook. It's literally the word of God given to us, giving us the big picture of all that life is all about. And you can choose to believe what God says, and this is how it took place. Or you can believe in chance. And honestly, both of those two ways of thinking require faith. And I happen to believe, honestly, that the idea of looking at the world and just saying that it's about chance almost requires more faith than believing that there was a God who designed things well and perfectly and good. But it's a decision that each of us have to make. But honestly, the issue isn't about the how, but the who. And that's one of the reasons why we're asking you to be involved with Mission 119. It enables you to see who God is in a larger story type of frame, because I think it's so important that you understand the beginning from the end. But if you believe in chance, if you believe that there is no God, then life truly does become a random happenstance of events. If you really believe that there is no God and it's all about chance, then you are literally your own God. You decide what's right or wrong, or what your purpose is or what your mission might be. You literally either believe it's all about you or you begin to follow what the culture says. And in a lot of ways, that sounds like a wonderful freedom. If we can get rid of God, then the field is open and there are no consequences and there are no worries that we need to consider. And the world tells us that that's what freedom is all about. Do your own thing. Be your own person. Don't care about anything else but yourself. That's an overgeneralization, but the fact of the matter is, a freedom like that always becomes a bondage, and it always ends up being destructive. A freedom like that comes to the place where you literally get culturally a place where it's more like Lord of the Flies and the survival of the fittest if it's taken to its end degree. But if you choose that there's a God, if you choose to believe that there is a creator, then with God we have purpose and we have boundaries and we have order and we have the privilege of living under his rule and reign and under his authority and mission. And we realize that he is the right and the wisdom to tell us how to live because he is the one who made us and designed us and formed us on purpose. So look at Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27 again. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. And then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the air, or fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the living livestock, over all the earth and all the creatures that move on the ground. And so God created man in his own image. An image of God created him, male and female, he created them. Do you realize that everything, according to Genesis, God called into existence? He literally said, let there be light, and there was light, and let there be earth. He did all of those things, and it's remarkable and wonderful. But do you realize when it comes to mankind, and if you want to read chapter 2 in Genesis, you'll hear the story of how Adam was made. But the Word of God says that Adam was formed. He was designed. God himself took the dust of the earth, and I don't know if you have that type of imagination, but he formed the body and the head and the shoulders and the legs and every part of that. And then it says that he breathed life into him. It's an amazing scene. He literally brings life or breathed life into Adam, and that's what sets us apart from the creatures. It literally, if you look through the book of Genesis, you begin to recognize and understand that literally he set man apart as the pinnacle of his creation, and there's a difference there. Culture claims that mankind was random. An act of chance, no different from the animals, no better than the animals. If you follow the evolutionary pattern that so many of us were raised with, it began with single cells and slime and fish and monkeys and then eventually people. And even now the newest theory is that we were seeded by aliens. I'm not quite sure what that means, but that sounds so much harder to believe than God did something, at least within my heart. But again, if that's really what we believe, then life ends up for whoever's strongest and who has the biggest group wins. But Scripture says the opposite. Scripture says that we are not random, that we are not accidents, that we were made in the image of God. Literally, Scripture says that humanity is sacred, unique, and special. And if you turn to the Psalm 139, verses 13 through the following, you hear how we were made. For you were created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you in the secret place, but it was woven together in the depths of the earth, and your eyes saw my unformed body, and you ordained all of my days. It goes on in verse 17 and 18 to literally says that the God of all creation knows you, has formed you, has made you, has given you your days, and then he thinks about you. And some of you are sitting there going, oh, I don't want that. No, he's not just thinking the bad things. He takes delight in who you are. Scripture says God knows who we are. Scripture says God knows and formed us. He created our inmost beings. He knit us together. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, just use your imaginations for a few seconds. What does that sound like? To be fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture literally tells us that God never looks at us or you as tissue or a fetus or an embryo, but there's the Word of God that says you are a child, a person, a baby. And honestly, that's why what's going on in New York and Virginia and North Korea and China is so heartbreaking and literally evil. But if you choose to believe there is no God, it makes perfect sense if everyone's a random act or an accident. But just begin to wonder and think through the process of if the Word of God is true, and I'm saying that it is true, imagine, do you realize that you were fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you believe that you were made on purpose and with design? Do you believe that you were known by an almighty God? Do you realize, as we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, that God didn't give his Son for animals or creation, but for people? In fact, the Word of God says he did an amazing work on us. He says he made us in the likeness of God, the image of God. That literally means there's an eternal relationship there. It's mind-boggling. But you and I are eternal beings. I think we lose sight of that. Believing God and his Word changes everything. What would happen if we truly began to believe and understand God's truths toward us? As you're taking the Lord's Supper today, would you stop and just thank God as the one who designed you and made you purposefully and pursued you? before we celebrate our salvation through Christ, let's just stop and revel in the truth of what God says. Can I offer you some truth today? Sort of set up the introduction, and it's not a long sermon, but I truly believe if we would capture these next three truths, it would transform how we do life. So the Word of God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Word of God says we are known by the Creator. The Word of God says our days were ordained and noticed. But there's three things I want to say. First and foremost, it may be a little bit difficult for some of you to hear, but if you're here today and you've had an abortion and you have come before God and asked for forgiveness and repented of that choice, then hear me this morning. According to the Scripture, you are covered under the blood of Christ and you are forgiven. And there is no condemnation with that position. I think too often we can look from afar and can't understand, but there's economics in the midst of that, and there's brokenness in the midst of that, and there's fear and anxiety in the midst of that choice, that there's family things that people get wound up in. But if you're here today, know that there is forgiveness at the cross of Christ. Secondly, if you're sitting here today, would you truly begin to believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Would you truly begin to be a person that recognizes that you are not an accident, but you were made and formed by God? As one singer put it, we're his fingerprints. Imagine if you and I began to believe that truth. Imagine that you and I are made in the image of God. And so often, I think within the body of Christ, we've made that about a quality that we have. Maybe it's our understanding, or we can recognize things, or we can make wise decisions and all of those things. But I think it goes so much farther than that. As I said at the very beginning, we are eternal beings, and God designed us to have a relationship with Him that lasts forever. And so when you begin to recognize that you're made in the image of God, it gives you a grander sense of your calling. Do you understand some of that truth to you? Thirdly, would you begin to wonder at God's grace, that He pursues you and He offers you a gift through the cross and through His Son Jesus? Remember last week when I got to kiss Joyce, and a couple of you have asked if I got to kiss her more at the end of the day, and I'm not going to answer that one, but I did get to have lunch with her. But did you see that Joyce came toward me? See, some of you have this image of God that He's like the Lincoln Monument where you're running up to Him, but the Scripture, every image in the Word of God, the image is a God running towards you. Would you believe that this morning before you take the Lord's Supper? For you created us in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. What if we began to believe that we were who Jesus says we are? What if we began to believe that the God of all creation knows our name and pursues us to have a relationship with us that doesn't end with death, but then goes on in eternity? I think that's why the psalmist says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Would you believe those three truths today? As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I'd like to end in a little bit of a different way. I'm going to play a song that strikes me, a pretty powerful one that deals with what our own thoughts may be, but what God says. And see, I truly believe if you don't begin to understand who God is and what He longs to do in your lives, and if you don't understand the beginning from the end, there's going to be a lot of going in circles and walking off into uncharted territories. But when you believe what the Scripture says and who God calls you to be, that's when transformation and change begins. we could watch the song.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Helpers come. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we live in a culture that says the only people of value drive nice cars and have good jobs and look good. Every single day we're told that we can look younger, stronger, and better if we just spend a little bit of money or put some creams on or go to the gym. Or Lord, you know all of those things that capture us as a people. Because we're not sure we really believe in what you say. That the Word of God says that you formed us in our mother's womb. That before the foundation of the earth, you knew who we would be and how would we respond. And you knew our names. Father, would you make us a people that begin to believe in that? Would you make us a people that begin to look at our neighbors and the people we see at Sheetz or Walmart in that same light, that they are made in the image of God, and that it has only been by an act of grace that we can call you Daddy. Father, as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, would you remind us of the cost of our salvation? Would you remind us that Christ didn't come for plants and animals and creation? Those are wonderful things, and you said they were good. But the Scripture said you came for people, that they might spend eternity with you. And you are the God who pursues us even now. And I believe you are pursuing some people in our midst. And Father, I ask at this very moment, if they sense you're chasing them down, would you give them the courage to stop and say, Lord, I surrender? Would you be my God? Would you forgive me and cleanse me? And the Word of God says, with that simple prayer begins a relationship. Father, some of us have been Christians for years and still don't believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We believe what our parents and teachers have said, that we were accidents, are not very valuable, or there's nothing really special with us. Would you speak truth to us this morning as we take the Lord's Supper and remind ourselves that you gave your Son's life that we might have life. And that's how God values us as individuals and as people. Holy Spirit, would you lead at this time in Jesus' name? Amen. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's celebrate his grace in his calling in our lives. walked in these doors this morning wondering how God could love you or if you are loved, let me repeat the words once again. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Know that you are loved this day." Let's partake. And then the scripture says that he took the cup, the forgiveness of sins. Scripture says there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Recognize his forgiveness in our lives this day. Given. Let's partake the blood of Christ this morning. Father, we just come before you and stand in wonder and awe. As a culture that tells us every day that we were random accidents, nothing different from the animals in which we take care of, you say that you made us and formed us and designed us and named us and claimed us. You say that you have ordained the number of days that we live. You said that you have pursued us, and as we have come to know you, you have said we are your sons and daughters. Father, would you remind us of that truth this day? In Jesus' name, amen. If you can stand for the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now that you have heard who you are, may God empower you to live out what he says. Fearfully and wonderfully made, designed by the King of Kings, on mission and for his purpose. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.
But he brought